Kate, this is gonna be a short one because
All right.
I'm fucking miserable. I've got the sniffles for the first of, I don't know, 90 times this season, I'm sure.
No.
Everything's a nightmare. But hey, hope everyone listening had a good Thanksgiving. And
No.
whenever I see it, there's a lot of turkeys in Staten Island where we live. And whenever I see one, I'm always like, hey, and then I do this bit
It's because they
where,
get a kick out of it. The turkeys really love it.
How are you?
Today sucked. Today sucked. Today was bad. It was way too cold, and my heat wasn't working, which really sucked.
That sucks.
It was just, it was a very like Monday kind of Monday. It Mondayed real hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your hair looks good though.
Thank you. Thanks.
It's a fun length. It's got a fun vibe.
Thanks. That's what I'm going for. I feel like Alana from Broad City.
Yeah, you got a little bit of that.
I think I got a little bit of that, a little Alia Shaw Cat going on that whole. Yeah.
We have to keep this going because I don't want to edit this episode. I don't have
Okay, so
I don't have the time. I don't have the time. Not that
one clean shot. It's gonna be like the beginning of Goodfellas. We're ready to go.
I edit extensively. I know when I listen to podcasts and they say something about editing, I always feel like, oh, I'm not getting the real deal. But you are. The only thing I ever edit out is like long pauses or like a lot of ums. I try to keep the ums to a level that isn't nauseating.
A permissible level.
And of course, I cut out all your xenophobic rants.
Right. You have to make sure that we don't publish those.
You get on your soapbox and you're like, let me tell you about these people. And I'm like, geez, you gotta cut this out. I like that I put that bit on you, not me.
Yeah, right. Thanks. Oh my gosh. Speaking of putting something on somebody else when you don't want to deal with it. We had to have a very interesting conversation with our daughter recently.
What happened?
So we listen to a lot of hip hop in my house,
Sure.
like just in general.
Oh
We're
no. Oh no.
hip hop people. So
Did she say the
our
N-word?
daughter, she didn't. She did once when she was like really, really little. She repeated it off the radio, and I was like, "You cannot ever
Oh
say that." She
God.
was like 2 at the time, but now she's gonna be 8 soon, so like, you know, she's getting a little bit older. And we were listening to something, and the N-word was said. My husband was like, "We're gonna have to tell her that she can't say that at some point." And I was like, I think it's now. Like, I think that point is now because she's starting to sing along, and like, we have to tell her before somebody else tells her. So we were like, "Hey, Abs, like, we know you know a lot of the bad words already, but there's another one that you might not really know is a bad word, and you'll hear it in hip hop songs and stuff, but it is not a word that you can say." And you know, it was an interesting parenting moment, but I was like, because at some point you have to tell her what the word is. I was like, I can't do it. I can't. So I was like, "Babe, you take this one." He was like, "Are you kidding me? Why do I have to do it?
How did
I
she
can't."
how'd she react to that?
So you know,
Bewildered?
we've a little bit. We've talked about like, oh, America at its foundation wasn't very kind to black people, and we've talked about what slavery was and how inhumane it was and all of that. So like, she got that aspect of it, and when we put it in that context, when we said like, this is a word that, you know, white people used to assert their power over black people. And that is why we don't use it. Black people use it with each other as a form of bonding, but it is not something that you can ever, 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 ever say. Like, yeah, yeah. And she was like, you know, I mean, a kid, as mature as she is, she still doesn't understand everything. And there was the question of, you know, like, well, why? Then I explained, you know, that when it comes from a white person's mouth, it's a reminder of something bad. But if it comes from a black person's mouth to another black person, it's a sign of camaraderie. And it's just not something we're on the outside of and you don't ever get to say. And eventually she was just like, okay, all right.
I used to describe it like, imagine you throw rocks at somebody. The person that has the rock thrown at them, they could pick that rock up and do whatever they want with. You're the one who fucking threw it. So you can't be like, oh, they're doing stuff with rocks too. It's like, yeah, well, you threw the rock at them. Yeah. Now they can do whatever the fuck they want with that rock.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, okay. That's a nice moment.
It really was. Like, it was heavy and it was, you know, uncomfortable. But if that's the least of my discomfort, then I'm super duper privileged. And, you know, it went well. And I'm proud that now I have a more conscious child going into the world that hopefully if she sees a friend say it or something, she'll be able to tell them, hey, we don't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So I'm into the third week of a new job.
And yeah, you are.
It is real, real rough going. It's like going to another planet. There's so many things to learn and do. At the end of the workday, my brain is just soft. The other day, someone was trying to tell me information towards the end of the day. And I was like, listen, I literally can't for a second hold what you're telling me. I'm full today.
Right.
Like whatever.
We're at capacity. Yeah.
It's literally going to bounce off my brain and fall on the floor. You know, it's nerve wracking. I have no confidence in it. I'm filled with imposter syndrome. I feel like a phony. I feel like, you know, it's, I guess that's something I wanted to talk about today, because I feel like starting a new job, no matter what the job is the fucking pits.
Yep.
It sucks.
It's not just learning the ins and outs of the job. It's like learning the workplace politics and what the energy is there. And it's just a lot. It's a lot.
It's like when you go on a first date and you're like, you're wearing your nice shirt and you're super good. It's like doing that for like 8 hours at a time for like a month. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I just can't wait till I'm not new at it anymore. Mm-hmm. So I have some fucking clue on what I'm doing. I mean, I have some clue on what I'm doing. I'm in the same field that I was in before, but it's a totally different job. And it's just, you know, it's kind of like when you go from being like a senior in high school to a freshman in college.
Yeah.
The job I just left, I was there for a while. I kind of moved up. I had seniority. I kind of did whatever I wanted. It was chill. And now I'm like new again.
Right.
It's so fucking hard. And you know, they say that it's hard. Like in training, they were like, you won't be good at this or really be doing it for like 6 or 8 months. And I was like, okay.
They prepare you for that, right?
Yeah. And at least their expectations aren't high. They know this is fucking ridiculous.
You're not going to be good at this. Oh, okay. Well, great.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what's been going on with me. We're recording this the Monday before Thanksgiving. So it's a short week. Thank God. Give my brain a little bit of time to, I don't know, recharge a little bit. But that's what's going on with me. I feel miserable right now.
Yeah, and it's especially like you were at your old place for a while, so it becomes second nature, and now it's taking something that was such a simple and like mechanical part of your day because you were so used to it, and making it something that you really have to consciously do and like make conscious choices the entire day, because you're learning something new and you're presented with new situations in a new environment.
You're on the whole time.
Yep.
And nothing is second nature yet. Even like simple shit like your email. You're like, what do I say to this person? How do I answer this question?
Right. There's no confidence.
Do you
I was having a conversation with somebody else earlier today about imposter syndrome. And I really think the older I get and the more people I speak to and the more like exposure I have to, you know, different work environments and whatever, like I really think just about everybody has imposter syndrome. I really think we're all like, how the fuck did I end up here? I'm like, somebody must have made a mistake.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to, right? Because like I've said before on the show that I work with disabled people. I never get into specifics, not because I'm trying to be mysterious, but because out of respect for the people I work with. But you know, I work with disabled people. So like, I can't be, let's say I'm talking to a person, I can't be like, hey, this is my first meeting, this is my first day, have no confidence in me. You can't do that. I have to pretend like I know what I'm doing. I have to pretend like I know what these questions are. I have to pretend like this is no big deal. I can't pretend like I fucking started this a fucking second ago. You cannot do that for people.
And I'm a big fan of doing that when I can, when I'm new at something, you know, just being like, hey, I'm new at this, just please bear with me or whatever. But in that situation, like,
people don't want to hear that when it's
people are coming to you for help. And they don't want to hear like, hey, you know, I'm going to do my best, but I'm not really sure what's going on.
I'm going to try my best. I'll ask somebody who knows the answer. I'll take this and then go bring it to someone who might know the answer to it.
I have some really great resources that I can use for you.
Yeah. I'll come back and act like I figured it out.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Boy. So, what the fuck else is up with you?
Oh, God. Nothing.
This is the worst episode of the show ever.
Oh, my God. But you know what? I feel like it fucking tracks because this time of year is just, like, the weirdest time. Like... The sun's fucking gone.
Why do we do this?
It's already winter. It was fall for 10 minutes, and now it's winter, and I'm like freezing all the time. It was like a beautiful 55 degree day, and then the next day it was 20 degrees. And
I don't even have a coat. I need to get a new coat.
You're just in denial about winter. If I don't buy a coat, it doesn't come.
Oh, my God.
It's awful. And like, I love Halloween.
Of course, it's the best time of year.
And I miss it already, but I forever keep it in my heart.
My decorations are still up.
Same as these. And they never came down from last year either. So I like, you know, I don't like Thanksgiving. I shouldn't even start the sentence with that. I don't like Thanksgiving.
That's fine.
You know, it's whatever. Like, I have good childhood memories of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But now it's a really difficult holiday for me since my parents died. Like, I remember, you know, I have the memories of Thanksgiving morning, you know, watching the parade and helping my mother cook and stuff like that. But like, it really doesn't hold much meaning for me anymore. And I think the older you get and the more you learn about, you know,
what the country
was built on and stuff, it loses a little bit of the fun.
Right.
And that's fine by me. I'm not mad about it ruining Thanksgiving for me. That's the least concerning thing.
Do you remember how cool the Wednesday before was? Like in your 20s? Holy shit. Going out. It was the biggest party night of the year.
Oh, Thanksgiving Eve.
Oh, my God.
I remember that being like the night, like the party night of the year, Thanksgiving Eve. Like,
you'd go out to the city as a Staten Islander. Like, we're going to the city. We're going to go fucking drink. We're going to fucking things.
And your friends who went to school upstate were all in town.
It's like, Thanksgiving. Look,
oh, shit.
Billy's
it's this fucking guy.
Yep. Oh, shit. How's your mother?
Say hello to your mother for me.
Oh, you want to do drugs? Yeah, of course I do.
Thanksgiving Eve.
Yeah.
And like, I look forward to the Christmas holiday.
Yeah, me
season.
Too.
You know, I don't. I'm not scroogey about it. I like Christmas spirit and all that stuff. But you know, capitalism There's that.
I know.
There's the capitalism of it all that I don't love so much.
You gotta buy people shit.
And like, I'm really grateful. I feel like people have become more honest in recent years, and people will say like, I can't do a gift exchange this year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I have family members at this point, you know, we focus on the kids. Like, it's nice as an adult, like, to have something to look forward to with Christmas time, whether if you're exchanging gifts with somebody or whatever. Like, that's cool. It brings a little bit, you know, more magic back to it or whatever the hell. But it's just too much. And especially, like, as our family is growing and there's more and more kids all over the place and whatever, it's like, you know what? We're focusing on the kids, and grown-ups can scratch. And
when you have a kid, your kid inherits your gift. You don't have a gift.
Yeah. No, you don't have a birthday party anymore either. No, you don't like, it's just you're done. You're done.
wrap it up. Wrap it up.
Get it together. Wrap it up. You're done. It definitely is joyous being like the spirit of Christmas for somebody. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, that's really cool. I mean,
it's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire.
Yep. Did you hear they added the song back in?
Yes, they fucking did. Way to restore my childhood and my faith in Disney.
I am so excited. My sister and I were actually screaming about it yesterday. We were so excited.
I still can't believe that they ever... We're talking about that in Muppet Christmas Carol. They took out the song The Love Is Gone, which is the breakup song between young Scrooge and his girlfriend, the whole heart of the goddamn story, the whole point of why he's like that.
Why he dislikes Christmas and everything. And like, it shows you his humanity. And Michael Caine crying. I mean,
and they reprise it later.
Right, without any context anymore, because they fucking cut it out.
Right. It was in the theatrical. I remember it. But then the VHS and everything after cut it out. But now it's back, baby.
Vengeance. Ready to break a new generation of hearts. That's my...
Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that, like, that's another tradition for me, a holiday tradition. Friday after Thanksgiving, put up the Christmas tree and watch Muppet Christmas Carol. It's the first Christmas movie of the season. Like, that's my tradition every year. Something good.
Thank you for muting.
You got it. Something good. My something good is autumn. It came and went, but it was really beautiful for a couple weeks there. Like, there were, I talk pretty openly about my experiences on here. So I'll just, since the first time I took mushrooms.
Yeah.
My, the way I view nature and stuff has changed permanently.
Wow.
And just like, colors this year were so beautiful. Like the light, like, it was just a really, really beautiful autumn.
Yeah.
And I soaked it in and appreciated it this year. I usually, you know, it never feels long enough. It always flies by, and it feels like this sneaky little week between summer and winter.
But that's the nature of autumn, right? I mean, that's what autumnal is, something that you can't hold on to.
It's a transition period. And like, I feel like I really leaned into it this year. Like, I really enjoyed the fall. And it's not like, you know, I leaned into it and spent, you know, all my time pumpkin picking and whatever. Like, I just genuinely appreciated like the crisp in the air. And like I just really soaked fall in this. That's my good thing.
That's fantastic. Good for you. I mean, I hope all of our listeners also did that. And I hope they, you know, whatever, if they like Thanksgiving or whatever, I hope they just enjoy yourself. Figure it out. Yeah. You don't have to do any of the traditions they want you to do.
No. In general, I like, not that I like it more, but it feels more like Thanksgiving to me when I do my, like, Friendsgiving with my friends.
Yeah.
That feels more to me like...
What a beautiful modern thing, by the way.
Oh, God, I love it. I love that we do that. I hate that it's called Friendsgiving, because we're not giving friends.
Right.
That's just, it could still just be Thanksgiving or like thanks friending. I don't know. I don't like it. It bothers me. But it's the best. Like, I love that about our generation in general, that we're a lot more about the found family and the family you create.
Yeah.
And, you know, understanding that family is not always blood, and that sometimes the people who are your blood are people you need to protect yourself from. And sometimes the family you make is a lot more intimate and important
of course
in your life than the family you were born into.
Yeah.
And I love that we acknowledge that with Friendsgiving. I love that we make time for that family.
Well, that's beautiful.
What's good with you?
The other day, I had my 3-year anniversary with my girlfriend.
That's awesome.
And before dating...
Happy anniversary.
Jen, thank you. Before dating Jen, the longest relationship I've had was 7 months. And it wasn't a great 7 months. I had really, before dating her, I had totally given up on love or monogamy or anything like that. I just thought, it's not for me, which is fine. If it's not for you, it's fine. I'm not saying that it should be for you or for anybody, but I guess I wanted it, but felt like it could not happen. I felt like, right. Honestly, I felt like I was not mentally healthy enough to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of gave up on it. And then I knew my girlfriend for a long time and we were just friends. But then we just like, I don't know. You know how it happens where you just like, you just start hanging out more.
Yeah.
And then like me and her were like best friends for like a year. And then one day we just started hooking up and it was like the most natural thing. So if I had advice to give, I'd say be best friends with the person you hook up with. 100%. That has to be more important than anything else, I think.
Same. That's my husband and I, very similar kind of story. I was friends with his brother. His brother started bringing him around more. And I was like,
right.
Kind of like this guy. And there was years of that. Years of getting to know each other and building a friendship and laughing and whatever. And even though we weren't close friends, we were friendly. And we built that kind of connection first.
Right.
And then he made me laugh one night. Like really, really hard.
Yeah.
And I asked his brother, I was like, hey, is it cool if I get your brother's phone number? And yeah, it's I have that same feeling where it's like we spent a lot of time building up a friendship first. That's and that's the most important thing. If you intend to be with someone for the long term, whether it's a friend, a partner, you know, whatever, like I think the most important thing is that you can be friends.
Yeah. When I was young, the only thing I thought about was sex and attraction. And I'm attracted to my girlfriend. She's beautiful. And we do, I mean, scandalous. We do have unmarried sex. But don't tell the church. Don't tell the church. You know, how many people did I date that we had zero in common? We did not even like each other. But we just had the hots for each other. And we just suffered each other. Imagine you meet somebody that you want to fuck them more than anyone else, and every single day without fail you have sex for an hour straight and it's mind-blowing. That still would only be 1/24th of your life with them,
right? Then still
you spend, it's nothing, you spend fraction. So much more time eating together and talking to each other. And
can't make me laugh if you don't get my jokes. Like,
yeah,
there's no sort of future there. Like, you really have to build that first before anything. And it also, it helps you really learn who someone is if you get to know them as a friend first. If you're knowing some, if you only ever know someone within the context of dating or whatever, like, they went into the situation trying to impress you.
It's they weird, went, right?
Yeah, and if you get to know somebody as a friend, they're relaxed. Really weird. So weird.
Yeah, like you should have like farted in front of each other and laughed about it before you started dating.
Before you started dating, because it's weird after. It's very hard.
One time before we were dating, me and Jen went to see a movie. We went to see Booksmart, which is a great movie.
Love that movie.
And it was just me and her in the theater, and she went to the bathroom, so I let out a huge fart. And then she came back and I was like, hey, while you were gone, I let out a huge fart, but it's okay, no one's in here. And she was like, what are you talking about? There's someone like 2 rows behind you.
Amazing.
And then me and her laughed for like an hour straight. We were just like red face, like choking laughing. It was the
That's incredible. I love it.
Still thinking about it makes me just,
oh my god,
just that bold, like, I don't care at all. I'm like, I want it to be
oh,
loud.
Oh, she's gone. Gone. Like, I don't.
I just imagine this person just like, oh.
They just have to play it cool.
Yeah.
I mean, what else are they going to do?
Yeah. So that happened before we were dating.
So funny. Like that. That sets the foundation for a lasting relationship.
That is the foundation. That is
it really is. That's the stuff that's important.
I mean, you have to be friends. Like, I've known couples where, like, they were both just model hot. And all they did was argue and hate each other. And it's like, what is this? What is this?
What is it you're doing?
This is horrible. And she's funny, which is important.
So important.
Yeah.
I think, like, I can't imagine sense of humor not being important to someone. Like, in general, like, I just can't imagine, like, humor not being an important part of your life. And
the best tool we have.
Yeah. And the person that you're spending most of your time with, the person that you're building a life with, or people, need to be on the same wavelength as you when it comes to that stuff. Like, that's in my opinion, the most important thing. I can't imagine it not being like top three.
Yeah. All right, we're running out of time.
All right, let's do what we got to do.
Give me a recommendation.
My recommendation. I wrote it down. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget.
All right.
My recommendation was the book by Jeanette McCurdy.
How is that? I've been wanting to read that.
I'm happy. It was delightful. I listened to the audiobook read by the author. She does a great job.
Is it funny? It sounded brutal.
It's both. It is both funny and brutal. She gets into her eating disorder, her relationship with her mother, what it was like being a kid actress and all of that stuff. It's a really good book. It's really quick, but it's poignant. And I think it's important. This is what she wants to be known for.
Nice.
She never wanted to be an actor. So I think it's important if anyone is a fan of hers or of her as an actress, if anybody grew up with her show or shows or anything like that, like, I think it's important to listen to this book and let her be seen the way that she wants to be seen.
That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely want to read that.
Delightful.
My recommendation is, it's a short story called A Visit by Shirley Jackson, the author of Haunting of Hill House and The Lottery.
Okay.
But I was in Strand the other day, and I was buying a book, and, like, you know how they have, like, the little, like, the things at the counter that are, like, what do they call those? Like, the last minute, like, buy. You're ready to.
Tchotchkes.
Yeah, and it's like, here, buy this. You're right here. Like gum in the supermarket. Mm-hmm. So they had these little, tiny, little cute little books that were called, like, Christmas ghost stories. Because, you know, it used to be a tradition to tell ghost stories on Christmas. That's the most famous of which would be A Christmas Carol. But that wasn't the only one. Like, you even, like, in the song, The Most Wonderful Time of Year, they have the line, and scary ghost stories, which to our contemporary ear were like, what the fuck are you talking about, scary ghost
stories? Everybody knows Christmas is about ghost stories.
So it's this really cute little, slim little book that's the story, A Visit by Shirley Jackson. And it was just so cute. It's like a perfect stocking stuffer. I kind of want to get a bunch of them and, like, give them to people. It was really good. And it was, like, it was spooky, you know? It was about, like, a haunted house. And all of her stuff is super, like, feminist. So it's about, like, the shackles of domesticity. And it was really good. Real good
stuff. Spoiler alert, the ghost is the patriarchy.
It always is. do you have a question for me?
I do have a question for you. My question is, what is your earliest happy memory? What's the first time you can remember really feeling happy?
Oh, boy. That is a wonderful question. I feel like really early on, like really, really early, like as far back as I could go, a lot of it's happy. But then, like a little bit older, I was like a melancholy kind of kid. I was a very Victorian child. I remember every night when I would, in the middle of the night, I never have been able to sleep through the whole night. So every night in the middle of the night, I'd get up and want a drink. So I'd wake my mother up and she'd go get a drink with me. And,
moms.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just a precious. Or, you know, I knew it happened a lot, but it's all like one memory to me.
Right. That's very sweet. I, when I was a kid, I used to have like nightmares, or, you know, I would wake up in the middle of the night, and when it would happen every time, I would wake up and I would yell, somebody, in my bed until somebody came. but I only ever wanted my dad. So if anybody else came, I'd be like, you can get daddy. But I would never yell for my dad, just because I wanted the first person who would wake up.
Right.
Regardless if that's, you know, my dad or not. I just need somebody here.
I have a question for you.
Shoot.
What is your perfect day?
October 24th is my favorite. No, my perfect day. Waking up without an alarm, first and foremost.
Nice.
Allowing myself to just wake up on my own, whatever time that might be. Morning stretching and coffee. It's definitely, my perfect day is definitely in autumn. Like that's an important part of the day. It's really low key. Like I'm not the kind of person where my perfect day is like, on my perfect day, I'd get to see this and this, and I would go here and there. My perfect day is probably very relaxed.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't involve leaving. I wouldn't be in my own house because I don't relax as much in my own house. I would like to be at some sort of cabin or something. Yeah. But I'd like to stay inside and do as close to nothing as possible. Maybe like take a bath, read a book, watch a good movie. Beautiful.
That's my perfect day too.
Yeah, I feel like it's not even arguable. Like that's the perfect day. Right about it. Yeah. Everyone else is wrong.
I'm always seeking stillness.
Yes. My perfect day is peaceful. It's not, you know, it's not exciting and running around. It's serene.
Yeah. Well, I hope that our listeners have a perfect day today.
Yeah.
And I hope that they had a good month since we've talked to them. And
I feel like it's been a long month. Like well, it flew, and also it feels like it's been decades.
Well, I just started the third week of my new job, and I feel like this 2 weeks has been 6 months.
Yeah, time isn't real for you right now, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's it for today. I gotta go sit in a dark room and cry. So.
Yeah, it's about that time.
All right. See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye.